The Liberal Democrat leader Tim Farron has accused Jeremy Corbyn of lamely giving up while Britain drives off a cliff by activating Article 50. This may leave the Lib Dems as the only mainstream political party that is opposing Theresa May's Brexit plans. For more on Farron's comments, I'm joined on the line by Asa Bennett, assistant comment editor at The Telegraph. So good afternoon, Asa.
Good afternoon, Ed.
So can you tell us a bit more about what Farron was saying about Trump just a few hours ago?
Of course, yes. He was very much punching Corbyn on a bit of a weak spot in the sense that the Labour leader cannot really vocalise any sort of position on where his party stands on the EU or Brexit, because on the one hand, he is instinctively and intellectually quite receptive to Brexit. He doesn't mind it. On the day that we voted to leave the European Union, he was on Sky News saying we should invoke Article 50 right now. And yet, actually, he also wants to have free movement. So on the hand, he's very pro-migration. And yet, at the same time, some of his colleagues are very much anti-Brexit. They're being sort of dragged, kicking and screaming along with him for this ride. And so he's sort of, on the one hand, he tries to say, okay, we may not be wedded to free movement, but then actually we are. We don't ruling it out. I don't know. And obviously this may not make sense, but welcome to Labour policy. So as a result, Liberal Democrats are pointing out that they, at least, may only have 8 MPs right now, or 9, rather, with Sarah Olney from Richmond Park, but they at least know what they think, and they don't like Brexit. They want to have it as soft as possible, as soft as practically remaining in the European Union in the first place.
I'm just adding to the confusion with Corbyn. I think I'm right in saying he originally said he was going to instruct all Labour MPs to vote for Article 50, and then he's since backed down from that. So who knows? Do you think they all will end up voting for Article 50, Labour MPs?
Well, I mean, discipline has broken down in the Labour Party these days under Corbyn, because, of course, he used to be a serial rebel, a man who would, go against the party whip as a point of principle. So, in this sense, MPs have had great fun over issues of, totemic importance in the party, like whether to go after Iceland, Syria, and all sorts of other things, just rebelling against him willy-nilly. So I'm sure they will have great fun defying him, the Labour moderates, for example, but some Corbynites suggested they would as well. And I think that's what kind of made him, backtrack very awkwardly, because Clive Lewis, the shadow business secretary, suggested that he was vehemently opposed to Article 50 and Brexit happening, implying that he, wasn't necessarily going to respond well to Corbyn asking him to, vote for it.
Now, of course, we've got two by-elections coming up, one in Copeland and one in Stoke, and they both arise because two MPs on the right of the Labour Party are stepping down, it seems, because they think there's no future for them in politics under a Jeremy Corbyn Labour Party. Of course, one of them was Tristram Hunt, who at one point was seen as a future Labour Party leader. Do you think Labour can win these by-elections? Is there any chance for them?
Well, I think it's they're having to be on the back foot in both areas, because, of course, in Copeland, it's very much a case of, the Tories are hoping this is their chance. They are already nipping on Labour's heels there. They've already been pounding, the streets, sort of putting leaflets under doors saying, did you know that Corbyn? He doesn't like nuclear power. He wants to, close down the Sellafield power station, get loads of people out of work.
Which is in that constituency, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, sorry. I forgot to mention that. Yes, it's a very sort of powerful thing to point out, in a sense. And so, I mean, there was almost odds on to take it, perhaps. It very much is a weakening for the Corbyn brand, and that's why Labour activists in Copeland are having to say, just kind of forget Corbyn exists. Just, focus on Labour, not Corbyn. Think of it that way. And the same point with Stoke. I mean, it's funny, because obviously Tristram Hunt probably thought, going to work in a museum with old relics and et cetera is kind of like working in the Labour Party now. But nonetheless, it's very much a case for UKIP's thing to shine, because obviously UKIP is going to announce his candidate on Saturday, and it's more likely than not to be Paul Nuttall, the leader. He's meant to be leading the charge and hopefully being able to prove his theory about the North and the Midlands. If they present someone who can understand them, can talk about the issues like migration, and actually be pro-Brexit, because many voters in the Midlands and the North did actually want Brexit to happen, then they may actually go for UKIP rather than Labour in this point. I mean, they only have Douglas Carswell and Clacton as their MP on the green benches. So, very much this is theirs. They must fight to win.
And I guess it would be quite a boost for Paul Nuttall as he starts out as a new leader to enter Parliament and win a by-election. That would boost his authority, wouldn't it?
Absolutely so. Because we have to remember that Nigel Farage, he's tried 7 times to enter Parliament, failed every single time, and yet somehow, of course, has reinvented himself as Donald Trump's best mate. So, of course, Paul Nuttall, he can succeed where Farage failed.
And then, just sticking with the Copeland by-election just a bit longer, Labour have announced their candidate, Gillian Troughton. Does she strike you as a strong campaigner? Could she make a difference on the final result?
Well, she's definitely very strong to have got where she is, because without getting too wrapped up in internal machinery, this was the Corbynites' attempt to really try and rig the candidate selection, in that they basically had loads of people on the selection panel who were Corbynites. They had loads of other Corbynite candidates there, and yet the members didn't quite listen to the members of Gillian Troughton, who, at the point, she said Corbyn would be a good person. She backed Corbyn the first time. She then backed Owen Smith during the leadership challenge. So actually, she was very much disenchanted. She suggested that, she wasn't so enthused with them anymore, and so she is a sort of critic. The moderates are, for this reason, rightly pleased that she's come through. I mean, she is, she was a former junior doctor, so very much Labour will be hoping that that means she can highlight issues about the NHS and really take the fight to the Tories, over sort of cuts to health service and social care. So it's generally a very good, fascinating choice, a good, safe choice, and that's the best candidate they could have had, really, there.
Let's go back to the States then, with Donald Trump, of course, being inaugurated. How do you think his presidency could affect the Brexit negotiation process here?
Well, I'm sure Theresa May will be very much grateful to have a powerful advocate for Brexit, because he's someone who, as he's told all the interviewers, I thought Brexit was a great thing, I thought it was good before everyone else did, that sort of, he likes to really boast about how much he loves Brexit. And so, have the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, saying it's good means the EU leaders probably will have to realise that, they can't just be sort of head in the sand and ignore it and try and, bully Britain. They have to, get with the times, be more expansive, because America itself doesn't like doing deals with Trump's people have. So they don't like, the idea of multi-block deals, multi-block unions, and obviously the EU. They prefer a bilateral trade deal. So this is very much something that's in Theresa May's favour, because Britain, after Brexit, can negotiate with America. And, the EU will have to realise this, and they have to, modernise.
I mean, what do you think about the negotiation process as well? I mean, fine, Trump says he wants to do a deal with us, but he's not necessarily going to be an easy negotiator. He knows we're desperate to do a deal with us. He could push pretty hard. I'm wondering, I'm thinking about things like genetically modified food, GM food. Currently, US regulations are much lighter on that than EU regulations. Could the UK have to accept regulations similar to the US if we want a trade deal with Washington?
Well, I'm sure this is the thing. I mean, from Trump's after the deal, he did say the way he likes to do negotiations is to start off demanding something absolutely absurd. And then, so maybe he could say, let's have, bleached chickens in Britain. You're going to have to accept that, I'm afraid. Right. The sort of chicken farmers of Detroit really will want no less. I'm sorry. So, Delaware, pardon me. And then what he does is, after demanding the absurd thing, he then backs down to what he really wanted, the kind of moderate position, where everyone's suddenly very grateful to him for compromising. So I'm sure, though, that Britain will see him coming for this, because, he's a big braggart who likes to sort of talk about his style openly. And so, they're not going to be too surprised. I mean, they're going to have to come to it as equal partners, in a sense, because he's spoken a lot about his love for Britain. So he can't be, the EU will want to, sort of give Britain punishment beatings. He will not want to do the same.
And sticking with Brexit, but going back to the Lib Dems, because we talked about those two by-elections, it's certainly the case the Lib Dems aren't expected to win either of the two by-elections coming up. But do you think there's a real opportunity for the Lib Dems nonetheless as the pro-Europe party, as the party of the 48%? Can they take advantage of Corbyn's weak leadership, bluntly, of the Labour Party?
Well, absolutely, because they at least have brand definition. You know what they want. If you're a voter, let's say, who thinks that Brexit isn't going fast enough, you'd vote UKIP. If you're sort of thinking it's just going all right, Theresa May is, master of all she surveys, brilliant, good job, Team A, you'd vote Conservative. But if you just hate the entire thing happening in the first place, you vote Lib Dem. Well, what does Labour stand for? It's just you're lost in the middle of all this.
But how can the Lib Dems, I guess, persuade Labour loyalists to leave, and particularly, I guess, the more sort of university-educated traditional supporters, the teachers and so forth, many of whom support Labour? There is sort of a cultural jump for many of those people who refused to back the SDP in the 80s. Why are they going to change now?
Well, I mean, obviously, because some of them do still see it as a kind of the Nick Clegg tuition fee, cuts backing. Yep. Oh, my God, the coalition. They still will not forget that. So, obviously, there is a problem. And obviously, when I speak to some Labour MPs, they do say the one reason why you're not hearing this grand narrative of, oh, no, which Labour MP will defect next to Liberal Democrats, like we saw for the Conservatives and UKIP, is because they just don't like Tim Farron. They think he's whiny. They think he's a bit weird. They think he's just, doesn't sound sort of like a leader. He's a bit too weak. week. And so there is a personality issue there. But actually, as a sort of ethos and ideology, I mean, members think differently, in that they're still art of drifting across, because they would see it, that there's a party that actually is, you know, liberal in a sense, although obviously with its stand against Brexit, some people might disagree. But at least it knows what it thinks. It is able to provide competent leadership, you know, something that Labour has a very much short supply.
Asa Bennett, Assistant Comment Editor at The Telegraph, thanks very much for joining us today. And I think we'll be speaking to you again next week, so I look forward to that.